Hello and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week are Brenda and Randy Lee.
Good to be joining you.
Yes.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, of course.
And we're going to talk about the new year, aren't we, Randy?
We are. New pages on the calendar, right? And when you read the Bible, one of the things, or at least when I read the Bible, one of the things I notice is that God creates, and everything that God creates is good, right? So Satan really doesn't create so much as he perverts, he twists, right, what God has created, right? And when he twists it, he makes it, well, twisted, right? So for example, God made the calendar, right? Lines up the days. God's got Christmas and New Year's together. And that makes sense when God makes it, right? Christmas, new king, new year, new beginning, right? Who's in charge of the new beginning? Why the new king, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Satan, however, tells us Christmas, new king. Oh, that was last year.
Yeah.
This is a new year.
Forget all about
that. Right. Wipe the whole slate clean. Jesus won't be back for 359 more days. Right. In the meantime, who's in charge? Right. Why, we are, of course. Right. We hit the new year and we're like, what do I want to do? Change in me.
Yeah, here's my New Year's resolution that I never keep,
here's my New Year's resolution, right? Mm-hmm. And what we should be asking is, what does God want to change in me, mm-hmm. right? Two things the Bible teaches about encountering Jesus Christ, right? And the first one is that encountering, not passing by, but encountering Jesus Christ changes you. And second, if you encounter Jesus Christ, you will have an unexpected life, right? Think about everyone in the New Testament who encounters Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What do we say about them? The first thing we always say is what they were before they met Jesus, right? Matthew was a tax collector,
right?
Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, right? Mm-hmm. Peter was
a fisherman,
right? Paul was a Pharisee,
right? Persecutor of Christians.
Exactly. Mary Magdalene was a woman with seven demons. Bartimaeus was a blind guy, mm-hmm. right? Right? You ask, well, who was Bartimaeus? Oh, he was the blind guy who Jesus healed, right? Who was Mary Magdalene? She was the woman whom Jesus redeemed, right? Who was, you know, Paul? Who was Peter? They're all people with a past life and a transformation.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus made them all into something different and actually something unexpected. Right? Peter knew what he was, a fisherman. Fisherman was all Peter could be. Right? Peter knew what he was. Paul was a Pharisee. Matthew was a tax collector. Right? But Jesus' big line with everyone is always, I will make you, right?
Or I will make all things new.
Right, exactly. I will make all things new, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not just all things. That's even you in particular, mm-hmm. right? And Peter, of course, has the classic response, right? Depart from me for, right? And it doesn't really matter why, right, depart from me. It doesn't really matter what comes after the for. We all have our own excuses for wanting Jesus to depart.
Yeah.
I'm not enough. I like me the way I am. I'm sinful. I want my own way. Right? The excuse doesn't matter. The critical distinction is whether we greet the new king and the new year with speak to us, Lord, for our, you know, our hearts are open, mm-hmm. or we greet him with, I will change myself.
Yeah.
I know how I need to change.
I can't believe how much I bought into that thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a long, long time, probably too long, mm-hmm. that, you know, we experience this amazing birth of our Savior every year. Mm-hmm. And by January 1st, I'm back in myself going, mm-hmm. what can I do? Mm-hmm. How can I? Really, it's just...
What can I do.
Well, that's because the media is so filled with, you know, what you can do, you know? It's just whether it's, changing your body, changing mm-hmm. your mind, changing, you know, it's never shifting into what can.
And that's the world, right? That's the world stepping into God's place and twisting the picture, twisting the agenda, right? Mm-hmm. There's not room, you know, God, I'm sorry, there's not room on the throne for both of us. You've got to get off.
Yeah.
Right? You go back to John the Baptist, you know, and in Luke 3, you have all these people going to John the Baptist, and they're all asking him, what should we
that
do?
That was a gospel
reading.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a gospel reading, right? Yeah. Just before Christmas. What should we do?
Right.
Right? The big line, the big word in Advent is prepare, mm-hmm. right? Which for me is massively humbling when I think, right? What should we do? How should I prepare? Because I never pray, Lord, what should I do? How should I prepare? That's never something I ask God, right? I'm much bigger on this is what I need you to do for me now, mm-hmm. right? How often do I pray, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me, but prepare me for your plan,
yeah.
right? If we thought about that, if I thought about that prayer, it's really pretty funny, right? Because when I'm trying to change myself, right, I'm trying to change myself to accommodate what I know.
Yeah,
and what
right.
I know.
And what do we know?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's exactly, Eleanor, that's exactly right. What I know is a past and a present that are passing away. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Only God can change us to prepare us for the future, for our future, because God, only God knows what that future is.
And you know what's, it just seems like it's as plain as the nose on our faces to think and believe that, I mean, I've heard this many times, you know, when you're focused on the past, you're usually depressed, mm-hmm. thinking about all your failures. When you're focused on the future, you're anxious because we have no control over the future. Mm-hmm. We pray with an attitude which is really more true, and that is, you know what, Lord, I don't know mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. what you want from me today, want me to do today, what you tell me. I'm in your hands.
And I know you'll be with me.
Yeah.
Well, that, present.
I know you will be with me. I know you have a plan. I know you haven't forgotten me, right? What is hope? Hope is journeying through the Bible and saying, God, you had these incredible plans for all these other people.
Yeah.
What will you make me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what you will do with me in this day,
yeah.
right?
You know, we can't get into that mindset of God's never going to use me or, you know, because if you go through the Bible, he used some pretty crazy people to do some pretty miraculous things, you know?
Yeah.
He really did. Some broken people out there, well, and he always, like, did amazing things through them. So I think we have to have a open mindset and say, Lord, I'm hear it for your service, you
yeah,
know?
And stop imposing on him mm-hmm. our limitations.
Mm-hmm.
He knows our limitations.
Yeah, he knows everything.
Even the limitations of our imagination,
yeah.
right? Right. I was listening to a song the other day, right? And chorus of song, the time has come for us to more than just survive. We were meant to thrive. When do we buy into that, right?
Yeah.
Right. This is about thriving. And then the song goes on, joy unspeakable, things unseekable, love unstoppable, everything is possible.
Mm.
Right? That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we're Christians. Right? Mountains, oceans, whales, cheetahs, all those things, right, were just good in creation.
Yeah.
Right? But God gets to Adam. Right? And first night, God's putting Adam to bed. And what's God say to Adam? He says, this, you are very good. You are made in my own image. All that other stuff was good,
mm-hmm.
but you are very good, right? So we say to ourselves, well, if I'm very good, why does God want to change me?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And Chesterton actually had an answer to this, which you guys will understand better than I will.
You're talking about G.K.
G.K., right? G.K. Chesterton. And G.K. Chesterton said, right, G.K. Chesterton observed that women in particular seek to change what they love. Right? Which, of course, drives men crazy. But that's that. You know, that's another radio show. If a woman loves a child, if a woman loves a home, if a woman loves a husband, right, what does she do? She seeks to change it, right? It's only what a woman does not love to which she is indifferent, right?
Ah, okay.
Right? So, mm-hmm. And why are women like that? Why do they seek to change the things that they love? And why are they indifferent to the things that they don't love? Because women are made in the image of
God.
God.
Yeah.
God seeks to change that which he loves. He seeks to be engaged with that what with which he loves. He seeks to be fruitful with that which he loves.
I've heard it said, you know, God loves us as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows what we can be, mm-hmm. and that's what he's drawing us and calling us mm-hmm. to.
What does a potter love to work with?
Clay.
Clay. A potter loves to work with clay. But does he come in and say, wow, clay, I love you. I'm going to stare at you today.
No.
No. What's he say?
I want to make this into something beautiful.
I want to take what I love and make it more beautiful.
Yes,
that's what he says to us. I want to take what I love and make it even more beautiful. And if we're going to be good clay, mm-hmm. we got to yield to the good potter.
Yes. Boy, doesn't that seem obvious that we should yield to the good potter, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're the clay. I've heard it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the way you put it, it really does make sense as mothers, mm-hmm. as wives, as parents, you know. Well, we have to stop and take a break, but please stay tuned. We're talking about the new year, right?
And the new clay.
Yeah, and the new clay. We are back with the family show on Holy Family Radio, and we're talking about the new year and how things get twisted up.
Good things get twisted up. That's right. Right. So Father Brommer at the cathedral just before Christmas was talking about anxiety and worry, right? And hard to see how that connects with good things getting twisted up, but be patient, right? So anyway, he's talking about anxiety and worry. He talked about giving a gift to his mom, and the gift that Father Brommer gave his mom had the famous Padre Pio quote on it, right? Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Father Brommer's mom, she looks at this gift, and she looks at her son, and she said, obviously, Padre Pio wasn't a mother, right?
Yeah.
Worry is what we do, right?
Right.
And Father Brommer used his mom's response as a springboard to explain how there are two kinds of anxiety, right?
Okay.
There's good anxiety that God gives us that spurs us to respond to his call, to his plan, to prepare ourselves for what's coming, right? So we have the flight of the Holy Family, right, out of Bethlehem into Egypt, right? Angel says, Joseph, wake up. You gotta go now, right? And Joseph's response is good anxiety, right? And bam, they're gone. They're out of that house, right? And then we have bad anxiety, right? And bad anxiety is that worry that paralyzes us or drives us to flee from God's plan, mm-hmm. right? Or flee from the life that God has planned for us, right? And similarly, we get to New Year's, right? And we can encounter confusion, right? And we have good confusion, and we also have bad confusion, right? We're in this time of searching, reflection, and there's this confusion that we can encounter in that process of reflection, right? I don't know where I'm going. I don't see any fruits of my efforts. I don't see a way out, right? So the danger here is that this confusion can fester and become bad confusion. Bad confusion is when the confusion becomes defeatism, right? I don't know where I'm going becomes I'm going nowhere, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I don't see any fruits of my labors becomes all my labors are fruitless.
It's kind of a predestined.
Right. It's defeated. It's exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nothing I do makes any difference,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I don't see a way out becomes there's no way out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my brokenness becomes I'm broken. I'm beyond repair. I don't know where I am becomes I am so lost. Right. And what we need to remember here is that just like good anxiety spurs us to respond to God's call, good confusion spurs us to seek God's light, his direction, right? Bad confusion is when we allow confusion to deny us hope, separate us from God, right? Make us feel defeated. Good confusion is when we allow confusion to be an invitation to seek God, right? What makes the confusion good or bad is not so much the confusion, but our response to it. Right? God always has a plan, right? Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future filled with hope.
So we all have a plan that God has for each one of us.
That's right. That's right. And when we feel confused about that plan, all we got to do is turn to the one who designed it, turn to the one who knows it. Mm-hmm. Right?
And I think, you know, sometimes in the new year, you start out running, you know, here's my whole list. This is how I'm going to be a better person. But you know how that just quickly. I decided this year, I'm just going to put up one word a day on the refrigerator. All those beautiful thoughts and meditations that you read over Advent or all the season, you know, hope and peace and love. Pick out one of those. You might put it in a jar and put it on your refrigerator. And that just keeps you focused each day. And, you know, even if it's the word like we were talking about, clay. Well, what's clay going to tell you? God's the potter. I am the clay. Let God form me today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or another, like seek him. You know, just let that be the focus for your day. It could be the word love. It could be, and let God, and your own list is going to come to you if you take a few minutes of silence, but one word a day, I think we can handle.
Well, you know, you have that confusion, you have that anxiety, Brandon, and that's exactly right. You look at that refrigerator and you see peace. You see faith.
Yeah, because I'm always
hope.
Looking at the refrigerator anyway.
Right.
Exactly.
And so maybe I should
anyway.
Put it inside
let's
the refrigerator.
See the direction,
yeah.
right? We don't need to know where we are. We don't need to know where
God
we're going.
God will bring the order. God will bring
and how freeing is that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't have to figure it out.
No. One word.
Open.
And God will give you the word that you need that day.
We need to just stay close to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two very confused women in the Bible, right? Sarah, wife of Abraham, and Mary, mother of God, right? Sarah, mother of the Mosaic, Moses covenant, Mary, mother of the new covenant, right? God says to Sarah, right, within a year, you'll have a baby.
Right.
Sarah says, how can this be? I'm old and barren, right?
I think she laughed.
She did. It's so absurd, right? She's confused, right? This is like beyond her thoughts, imagination. But then in response to her confusion, she says, I better get to work, right? I got to be in charge of this. I got to make this happen. How's this going to work? I know. I'll give my slave handmaiden
yes.
to my husband.
Right.
Right. That
wow.
is mm-hmm. bad confusion.
Yes.
Right. God says to Mary, same thing.
Yeah.
You're having a baby.
Yes.
Again, Mary also says, how can this be?
Right.
Right. This time she says, how can this be? Because I know no man.
I mean, even more so, she's a virgin.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. No question. There's confusion here. This can't happen.
Right.
But then she says, right, not I got to be in charge of this. Mm-hmm. She says, be it done unto me according to thy word.
Yeah.
Good confusion, right? We talked last time about faith being, God, you solve the problem. I'm just going to stay focused on being faithful in the moment. right? I think we get lost because we misunderstand the nature of calling. If God called you to be something, he called you to be his, right? To be his art. And if you are his, right, you will be fruitful. But even more than calling you to be his or calling you to be fruitful, he called you to do something. He called you to love, first commandment, right? And I think two most important commandments, love, love. I think if we stay focused in the moment on doing what we're called to do, to love, then we will be what he wants us to be, mm-hmm. right? I think a lot of us get frustrated because we think we were created to be artists, to do art. And we weren't created to do art. We were created to be art. Remember, he's the potter, we're the clay.
Yeah. What a difference.
And being art isn't a bad gig, right? Being engaging, uplifting, true, light, saving grace to the world, all of that is great to be. And all of that follows from being his, from being close to him, right? Mm-hmm. New year, new king, right? New king throughout the new year, right? New year, New Year's resolution, identifying our areas of brokenness, right? And again, what do we do with brokenness? Bad brokenness flows from the Humpty Dumpty model, right?
Okay.
Right? It's a deep theological theory.
Very deep.
A lot of people don't know this, but it is. The Humpty Dumpty model for brokenness, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't
put Humpty together
again. Couldn't put Humpty together again. God, however, doesn't believe in bad brokenness. He doesn't believe in the Humpty Dumpty model, right? God believes in good brokenness. Matt Kelly was really big during Advent on the Japanese art of Kansanji. Kansanji.
Hmm. Okay.
Right? I'm probably mispronouncing it horribly, but in Japan, there are these artists, and their medium of art is broken pots and broken vases, mm-hmm. right? You break a pot, you break a vase, you know, these guys want to have at it, right? And they mix this special glue with gold dust, and they use this golden glue to glue the pieces back together. And the resulting art doesn't seek to hide the cracks, doesn't seek to hide the brokenness, right? This golden glue, this resulting art, highlights the cracks, highlights what was the brokenness now healed, right? The brokenness becomes a part of the art.
Mm.
It becomes a part of the story. Ultimately, ironically, ultimately, the redeemed vase increases in value.
Wow.
Increases in beauty. Notice one of the gifts of the wise men was gold.
Yeah.
Why? Because they knew Jesus was going to need to redeem a lot of brokenness. He was going to need to make a lot of art. So he was going to need a lot of gold to mix with the glue.
So it sounds like you're saying he not only needs our brokenness, he uses our brokenness to make something new.
He makes all things for good for those who trust in him. Right? You reorient yourself. You trust in him. All of those things that you thought were bad, maybe they were.
Yeah.
Certainly they were.
Yeah.
But in his hands, he makes all things for good. Right? That's what he's about. That's what fathers do. And what do we call him? Our Father. If you want to address the Father, what do? Our Father. Think Jesus taught us. Boom. That's who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the person who takes your brokenness and makes it for good.
Well, you know what? We're into the new year, okay? A little ways into it already. And I'm going to just drop the whole list that I had about me, which is always about me, and say, you know what, Lord, take my brokenness.
Right.
Let me do your will. Make me something new. Right?
That sounds like a good
new
plan.
King, stay king.
Isn't that what we should be doing?
Yes. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And like, if you have to put
it's some, relieving, isn't it?
Yes. Why, you know, what is 10 pounds going to do for me, really? I mean, honestly, have I done this before? Been there, done that? Why? It's always right there.
Right.
Say, I don't want to say that's the only thing I am. But to be honest, it's usually like, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to.
Right.
And the big picture is, the big picture is, God, make me something new. Take who I am. I'm not going to hide it.
Right.
Like you said, I've done things. I'm a sinner.
And he sees it all. He knows it all.
And yet,
he just wants us to come to him.
We don't have to hide that from him. He already knows it.
Mm-hmm. Knows it, wants to use it.
And use it and make it better.
Yes. Take me and prepare me for your glory. Take me and prepare me for your glory.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. I can't believe it. I just think this is a new year. This is a wonderful way to remind ourselves God's in charge and he's the potter, right? But join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for the Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
Once again, Happy New Year, and we'll leave you with a beautiful sound of Seasons.